Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, just know that we're grateful to have you tuning in. We're going to be looking today at the second half. Last week, we focused on the first half of the story of the disciples in the locked room with Jesus appearing to them. And now we're going to really focus a little bit more on the second part of that story where Doubting Thomas, as he's often referred to, enters the picture. So we're going to prepare our hearts, though, for whatever word the Spirit might want to intermingle with our spirit as we listen to our friend Nick Dupuy offer the anthem, I Need Thee Every Hour. How true that is.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou
So we are looking at the story we often refer to as the story of Doubting Thomas. We're going to focus a little bit more on the interaction of Jesus and Thomas. But it starts in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, verse 19. It says, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed his hands to the disciples and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So he gives them his breath. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now, a week later, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were again in the house, and Thomas was there with them, though the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said again, and this is the third time, he says, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Let's pray. Lord God, the idea that you would be revealed to us in a given moment in time is extraordinary. And we're a little bit jealous of those disciples who are said to have had firsthand experience of your presence in their midst, your visible, tangible presence. We are far removed from those first witnesses, but we trust that somehow you are able to make yourselves known to us through the word, in your own will, and by your own will, and in your own way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, obviously, you know that I love the Bible, but one of the reasons I really do love the biblical text is that it makes space for doubts of faith and the dirtiness of life. You see, the Bible doesn't sanitize faith. It doesn't sterilize our human existence, not at all. The Bible is raw and real, and it is, at least to my mind, really appropriately unsettling at times. I mean, in truth, we often need to be unsettled a bit if we're ever going to truly be grounded in faith. I mean, think about the story that we just read. I mean, is it not a bit remarkable that right in the middle of the best news of the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, significant doubt is enshrined for all time? I mean, if someone was trying to promote religious propaganda, or if you were just making the resurrection story up, I really don't think you would place a story of profound doubt right smack dab in the middle of the drama's climax. But the Bible makes room for our doubts. In fact, Thomas, I think, is like the patron saint of those of us who struggle to believe from time to time. Maybe you can imagine yourself speaking the words that Thomas spoke, saying, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now, what I love even more than the Bible itself is Jesus' portrayal in its pages. Jesus is not put off by disbelief any more than he's dismissive of followers who deny, betray, and abandon him. Jesus didn't chastise Thomas for his doubt. No. Quite the opposite. Jesus met Thomas right in the middle of it. Now, according to the story, Jesus made a return trip to his students for the sole purpose of revealing himself to this doubting disciple. So, what I want you to take away, at least in part, is that the Lord can handle your doubts, whatever they may be. In fact, I would suggest that if you don't have some questions about our faith, then perhaps you haven't taken much time to really consider our belief system. I mean, we believe in a God who created the world out of nothing, a God who is said to have freed an entire nation of slaves out of Egypt, and, oh, by the way, chose to redeem the world through a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem who would die as a criminal on a cross in Jerusalem. Try making sense of that. The Apostle Paul did. He wrote in explanation, he said, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom." And the prophet Isaiah, kind of dabbling in the same line of thought, says, you know, "For God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts." Essentially, what that means is that God is holy mystery. And if God is holy mystery, that means we're going to have doubts. Those doubts are inevitable, but they are not unassailable. That means they're not unable to be overcome, if you will. So, while Jesus takes doubt seriously, he also has great appreciation for those who choose to believe. The author of the Gospel of John gives a little wink, I think, in our direction when Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." That's talking about us, 2,000 years removed from these events. You know, Jesus knows that belief in the extraordinary nature and presence of God is not always easy. So he's impressed when we are able to maintain faith, and so your belief pleases the Lord. And apparently, your belief also serves as a blessing to your life. Belief, it turns out, is quite good for you. Forbes, the second Bible of Fairfield County, if you will, had an article not all that long ago saying that there's a growing body of research. This is a quote. growing body of research has shown that religious involvement and spirituality are associated with better health outcomes. So greater longevity, better coping skills, enhanced quality of life, lower rates of terminal illness, less anxiety, depression, suicide. Additional studies have shown that addressing the spiritual needs of a patient can actually accelerate recovery from illness. Now, that article concludes with these words. It says, because of the clear benefits, religious beliefs and activities should be an area of intense focus for the medical research community. So Jesus understands doubt, but he encourages faith because faith is good. You know, Jesus stated earlier in the same gospel that he came that we might have life and have it in abundance, and belief really does inspire life and enhances life. So doubt is real, but faith is really good, and as it turns out, quite good for you. Now, we had a Sunday evening service about a month ago, and Pastor Richard from Pivot extended an invitation for what is traditionally referred to as an altar call. And if you don't know what that is, it's this opportunity for anyone in attendance to come forward to commit or recommit one's life to Jesus Christ. So Pastor Richard did that, and only me and one other Pivot guy came forward. So a lot of folks missed out, but I've been thinking about it, and I realized that while the idea of an altar call and a recommitment to Christ might be seem somewhat unusual, I realize that most of the times we worship, particularly in our 8 a.m. service in the chapel, we really do have an altar call of sorts. And it's referred to as communion. Communion is a sacrament of the church, but it is also this action that indicates an intimate sharing of thoughts and feelings and experience with another. And in the sacrament of communion, that other is Jesus. So coming forward for communion, whether it's at our church or another community of faith, is our opportunity to connect deeply with our risen Lord, who comes to dispel doubts and encourage belief. Belief means following Jesus' ways, even when we wonder if it will work or whether it makes sense at all. Belief that all that worries us, all that makes us anxious, all that keeps us locked in fear is temporal and fleeting, but the life and love and presence of God is eternal. You know, in this story that we read, Jesus comes to dispel doubt and encourage belief. And I'm just curious if you noticed when he arrived. It says, when evening on that day, the first day of the week, when it was evening, first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Do you happen to know when evening on the first day of the week is? Sunday evening. It's after 5 p.m. on Sunday evening. You know, if you read the resurrection accounts, you'll realize that there's something about early Sunday morning and later on Sunday evening where Jesus kind of has a way of showing up. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So I think that encourages us to keep alert, particularly early on Sunday morning when we wake and when we're with our community of faith, and maybe even Sunday evening. I'm not trying to be overly mystical or kind of hocus-pocusy. It's just that Jesus does meet us where we are, and there's something about Sunday, that resurrection day, where he can be particularly present to us. So anytime, of course, but certainly on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, those are wonderful times. And maybe you do this next Sunday. Maybe you do it later today. It's a wonderful time to cast your doubts and concerns before the Lord. For who knows? Who knows? In the breaking of the bread, in the approaching of the table, in the singing of a hymn, Jesus might be revealed to you anew, offering you the holy connection and holy communion you truly long for. And as the scripture says, connecting his breath with yours, connecting his faith with yours, connecting his relationship with God with yours, perhaps in a calming and sacred whisper, almost audible, but you sense it through and through. Jesus saying, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Let's pray. Lord God, if if it is true that you are alive, which is what our faith has been grounded in and founded upon for 2,000 years, if there is truth in that claim, which we believe there is, that means you have the ability to counter us whenever we gather with others in your name. So surprise us, Lord God, with your presence. Draw us toward you. Meet us where we are so that you can take us to the place you want us to be, so that you can craft us to be the people you want us to be. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. Well, church family, we are solidly in Eastertide, and again, next week we'll look at more resurrection counts. But for now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.